Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keeps truth forever, and who will never forsake the works of his own hands. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Scripture this morning you'll find in John chapter 14. First, we'll read the law of our Lord from Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. A reading again this morning is John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not much talk with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and so the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. So far we read God's holy and inspired, infallible word. The congregation, we have sung together. We have all, I think, either heard the words or have sung them, and I wonder if this too has been prayer of our heart as we sang, Thou bidst me seek thy face, and I, O Lord, with willing heart reply, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. This is the face of a God who is gracious, kind, and fatherly. Children, when you think of your father, maybe you have great cause to be proud and to feel secure and safe when you think of him. It's full of wisdom, at least if you've grown older and realized some of the words that he has instructed you with. But think maybe if your father was not only who he is and owning a business or working diligently or some other task in this world, but he was the Prime Minister of Canada, or perhaps a king in another nation that had great authority and you were a prince. What difference then would you view concerning your father? What thoughts would you have about him and about what it means to be in this position? Well, think if you could own the whole world. If there would be such a king who would rule over everything. Think of then what your father would be. But all of this really, in a sense, pales in comparison when we speak of the Father, the true Father from which all other fathers and fatherhood derives its picture and its reality. Have you really ever thought of how insignificant we really are? We're occupying one probably square foot of space on this earth. And we're traveling through space at 110,000 kilometers an hour. Orbiting our sun, the largest star in the solar system in which we are in, the earth. Sun having a diameter of 1.4 million kilometers. The temperature inside of the sun is 14 million degrees Celsius. And if we think at night when we go outside and we see this white band of stars that sort of fill the sky in one band, that's the Milky Way. Earth is just simply one little part of that huge expanse of stars and cluster of stars which we call the Milky Way. It would take you, if you traveled at the speed of light, 240 kilometers per second. It would take us 200 million years as Earth to make one complete circle in this whole Milky Way galaxy. We're insignificant. We're only standing on one square foot of this Earth. And yet it's a Father who has created all these things. Your dad was once two little cells, just like you were, children. Now he's grown to perhaps over 100 trillion cells in his body. Everything about them and you is originally in those two little cells. How incredible is the creation of God. All the way down to its smallest character, all the way to its greatest expanse. He is God, the Father of all. And if we have this God as our Father, then what do we need to fear? Then what blessings belong to us? But if we do not have this Father as ours, the Scripture is very clear that there is only another alternative. We are of our Father, the father of lies, the devil. And so how do you live your life? Is it as Christ has set before us this morning, living and seeking Him, and in knowing Him through His Word? We know the Father, and we love one another. Or are we following the Father of lies? Believing the things this world sets before us, seeking the things this world sets before us as that which will provide us with happiness and joy and purpose. And at the end of the day, we realize we have never attained, we've never arrived, it's never been fulfilled. Well, I want to set before you this morning a Father who is able to fulfill and far surpass anything we could ever imagine. And it is this theme that comes to us from Lord's Day 9 in our Heidelberg Catechism. I want to turn there, question and answer 26, where we read, "What believest thou when thou sayest, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth?" The answer is that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth with all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by His eternal counsel and providence, is, for the sake of Christ His Son, my God and my Father. on whom I rely so entirely that I have no doubt, but He will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body, and further, that He will make whatever evils He sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my advantage. For He is able to do it, being Almighty God, and willing, being a faithful Father. So our theme is our Father's care, with two thoughts. First, we want to look at my Father for Christ's sake. It is the only way in which we can come to know this Father of who is set before us in this its answer and in the Scriptures with comfort. He's my Father for Christ's sake. And secondly, we want to consider that He cares for me in all things, being able and willing, being almighty and faithful. I think we can appreciate, dear congregation, as we come to the Catechism once again, the biblical nature in which the Catechism sets before us the truths of the Word of God. But not only its biblicalness, its doctrinalness, we could say, but its practicalness and its comfort also for us. If you simply take a bird's eye view of this answer, you'll see that there's nothing but comfort in this answer who have God as their Father. Notice what he begins with, that the eternal Father. This Father of whom we are speaking does not have a beginning. He does not have an end. He is the eternal one. And he's an eternal Father because he has eternally begotten a Son. We saw something of that last week when we considered the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, in regard to this title, God the Father, it's often spoken of in relation to the fact that God as Father created all things. And that is correct. He is God the Father of our creation. But that's not only just a simple statement of fact. We see the immense comfort that flows from that truth and that confession which our Father set before us. Hear the comfort in this answer of the question, what do you believe when you say? And this is read to us, and we ought with heart to agree and assent and to understand what we're saying as the minister would read the Apostles' Creed on Sunday nights. This just isn't a bunch of words that we just read over again every Sunday night in 12 points, the summary of what we believe. We ought to understand with each point what are we saying? What do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? Maybe you noticed as we read the answer, if you had your Psalters open, you would have seen there was a parenthesis there. They want to emphasize, yes, in the parentheses, He is the Creator of heaven and earth and all that is in them, and He likewise upholds and governs the same with His providence and His counsel. But the main thought is this. The eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is, for the sake of Christ His Son, my God and my Father. This is the answer our Catechism Father authors want us to understand and to underscore. It is for the sake of Christ. This is a believer who is confessing this answer. And so often even the children of God don't rightly understand nor live in the comfort that belongs to them as they ought. Because we so often live at a distance, in separation in a sense from this Father and communion with Him. And part of the reason is as well, because some have even said that this is something the children of God rarely come to know or
infrequently are able to live out of this truth. To be able to say, God is my Father. And then able to say, for the sake of Christ, He is my God, my Father. And I have no doubt He will provide me all things necessary for body and soul. You see, the comfort that is couched in this answer is set before us by our fathers. This is an answer which is drawn from the Scriptures. We read in John the Apostle saying, chapter 1, verse 12, as many as received Him, to them gave He the power or the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. This was not true by nature. You and I, born into this world, are not by nature the sons and daughters of God in relationship with God. We'll see in a few moments. Yes, there is certain measures of that can be said. We can say we are children of God, but what John is emphasizing here in John 1 is He, the Son of God, must be received. And that's what He stated for us in chapter 14 this morning as well. And to as many as receive Christ, they have the right, they have the power to be the sons of God, even to those who believe on His name. John is saying to us, in this chapter 3 of John, what He said to Nicodemus, except you are born again, you shall not see the kingdom of God. And the reality could be said, except you are born again, you will not understand God is our Father. And we need to distinguish then between what it is meant when we say, are we children of God? What is the church of God? And when you speak with other people, other churches, people in the world, if you don't distinguish what you're talking about and the terms you're using, you can very easily be misled or misled others when you're speaking. So if I, for example, said, everyone sitting here this morning is a child of God, is that a true statement or false? If I said to you, we all belong to the church, is that true or is that false? If I would say to you, whoever you might be listening or sitting here, God is your Father, is that true or false? You see, we need to make distinctions. We need to separate between what we might understand by those very words and phrases, just like the Scripture does. So to say that all of you are children of God is true in a sense. All who are gathered here this morning have the sign and seal of the covenant. The Scriptures are very clear to us. You are the sons and daughters of God. Very clear as you trace it through the Old Testament and even into the New. You see that Manasseh, when he was offering his sons to Moloch, this heathen idol god, God comes to him, to the prophet, and he says, what are you doing offering my sons to Moloch? In the covenant community today, in the church today, in other words, God would say the same thing to us. If you are letting your children go off into this world and you're even offering them on the altar of the things that are set before us today in the world, He would come with the accusation, what are you doing with my children? There are going to be children of the kingdom cast out. How could that be if they weren't called children of the kingdom at one time? Jesus Himself said in Matthew 8, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, there were many who claimed to be children of Abraham. But they did not do the works of their father Abraham. But Jesus says, they rather do the works of their father, the devil. You see, anyone who is in the church has relation to the church through baptism. They could be said to be children of God. But when they do not live by faith, and they do not live according to the Word of God, they are, in a sense, illegitimate children, spurious children. They are children, Jesus would say, of their father, the devil. And if they continue to walk in this way, Jesus said one day He's going to say to them, into outer darkness. And the great privilege, the great blessing that they had in being under the ministry of the Word, receiving the very promises of God through the sacraments even. God having said, I will be your Father, your God, will testify against them. But there are also, we would say, in the congregation, in the church, and in the world, there are those with whom we would say these are the children of God. They have God as their Father through Christ. They have been born again unto a lively hope. They have come to see that outside of Christ, they are lost. They're headed for destruction. And the Spirit, having opened their eyes to see their sin, to see that they have lived as children of the devil rather than what they have been called to be, they've been brought to repentance and to turn unto the one true God. And there are many today who want to take this reality, we are the children of God, and to claim it for themselves with the name Christian. And yet, though they call themselves Christian, though they name God as their Father, their lives indicate they are not truly such. They receive Jesus perhaps as Savior. They do not follow Him as Lord. They don't obey His Word. They don't live separate from this world. And they don't live in holiness as they are called to live. But rather continue on just as they once did. Though with this added confession that God is their Father. And there are others too who deceive themselves into thinking that they have the truth. They know, with their minds at least, they must be born again. They know, they could tell you. They would say it on house visitation. We know, we need. God is our Father. And they would even know that there are many in this world who call themselves Christian who really don't know God as their Father. And yet these same individuals have a distorted view of this Father who is set before us this morning. They would tell you that somehow they are waiting in this frame of heart for God to save them. And all the while they're so-called waiting, they're neglecting the very Word of God which comes to them. They neglect the very commands of God which call them to repentance and faith. And they think within themselves, are you one of these people? They think within themselves they have one step up on the rest of this world. They come to church. They're not like the rest of the people out there. They think they're children, as the Old Testament would say, children of Abraham. Thinking you have a little better chance, if you want to put it in those words, of being converted. And yet, all the while, in your heart, in refusing to submit yourselves to this one God and Father who is set before you, you indicate that you are nothing more than a child of the Father of lies. And herein lies the real problem. If you were in such a way, dear friend, the problem is you really will not own up to the reality and the truth of what God, this Father, says that you are when you refuse His Son. You are following after the Father of lies in an ongoing way, in a deepening way, hardening yourselves to the very gospel and the message of peace. It is your Father that you imitate when you carry on in this world enjoying its pleasures and not following God. So I ask you this morning, who is your Father? Who do you imitate? Who do you follow? Who are you seeking after? Is your only hope and expectation in Jesus Christ, who is able to reconcile you again to this Father God, the Creator of all things? If you are relying and depending and clinging to anything but Christ, you rest short for eternity. There is a distinction to be made. Yes, God says, you are all my children. I have gathered you. I, in my covenant faithfulness, have brought you in. But in the covenant, what are you doing? Are you living for sin and for self and for this world? Or do you follow on to know the living and true God who separate you from this world? What do you believe, in other words, when we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth? Can you say from the heart, I believe that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is, for the sake of His Son, Jesus Christ, my God and my Father? This can be known. It's very clear from the Scriptures. Paul says in Romans 8, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Galatians 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, Paul says, He has sent forth the Spirit into your hearts, and you cry, Abba, Father. Paul is speaking to the Galatians, those who are trying to go back and reverting to a way of works righteousness. He says, no, don't try to do this. You will never find your way back to the Father and His comfort and pleasure and joy in working your way back. It is settled. It is secure. It is sure in Christ. You are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, you're a fellow heir. You're an heir of God through Christ. Ephesians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, See, Paul understands the connection. There is no connection to God, this Father, apart from, separate from what Christ has done. And we'll see this evening, Lord willing, how it is possible that we who deserve eternal death because of our sin can be reconciled and brought again into favor and communion with the Father of lights. The only reason I say this morning in summary is because Christ has went into outer darkness that He could restore again a people into communion with His Father. John, 1 John 3, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God." And in Revelation we read, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." We are all, Paul says, included under the sentence of sin and death. But there is a promise of the gospel that by faith in Jesus Christ, we may be restored again to communion with God. He says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Each of those, and every one of those, who have fled unto God in Jesus Christ, who have laid hold, even as the woman who came behind Jesus in the press and just touched His garment and felt His healing power. No matter how weak our faith may be, this, Paul says, is true. Ye are all children who have done so by faith, laid hold upon Christ. All of you then who believe in Him, you're able to stand before this great and awesome God who created all things. And He is directing all things to its smallest degree, to its most smallest point in our life. And that happens. This Father is directing all these things to pass. Once read of a man who had visited Israel. He didn't know the language. Didn't know Hebrew. He's just visiting. As he was watching a father talking, a Jewish man talking to one of his neighbors, I suppose. They were talking together and this little boy was sitting on his lap. This little boy was looking up at his father and this visitor to Israel could tell the little boy wanted his father's attention. He wanted to ask his father something. And the little boy reached up and touched his father's face and simply said, "Abba, Abba." And that's the picture that Paul gives to us of the believer as he calls upon God, "Father, Father." That's the intimacy that Paul and the Scriptures set before us that ought to be the part and portion of the church and the children of God. We ought to flee to Him in all our need and all our care and all our desire to this Father with whom we have been reconciled alone through Christ. The same Father, children, the same Father can be yours. The same Father who created everything. Everything you can see, everything as you cast your eyes in this world, you see the great expanse and you look into the heavens at night and you see the distant stars and you look in a book and you see how much more you can't even see with the naked eye. It's all His. And can you imagine having this Father as yours? But can you imagine if this Father is not yours? And that you will meet Him one day when He has come and He has given everything He could. This Father has come and He's given His own Son into the hands of wicked sinners. And they put Him to death. And then for us to say, I don't need your Son. I don't need this forgiveness. I don't need to be reconciled. I am my own King. I am my own Lord. I am my own Master. Because that's what you're saying, believing the Father of lies. But if by grace you may come to submit before Him, bow before Him, cling to Him, pray to Him, and through Christ, trusting in Him, He becomes your Father. Then Paul says, everything is yours. And this is the comfort he wants his church to live from. And this is the comfort we will see in our second thought. First, we will sing 444, 5 and 7. So our catechism continues. It says that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator of all things, is for the sake of Christ, His Son, my God and Father. And then the second thought is the care that this Father then shows and bestows upon all those who are His. He says that I rely on Him so entirely that I have no doubt but He will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body. And further, He will make whatever evils He sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my advantage. For He is both able to do it, being Almighty God, and willing, being a faithful Father. Those then who have confessed this first element of our answer this morning. This is through Christ. We may be able to say and stammer and beginning even often, my God and my Father. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. If we may confess Him as my God and my Father, we should grow. That's what this answer is teaching us and what the Apostle is teaching us. We should grow in this understanding and this knowledge that I, in belonging to God and my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, that I belong also to a faithful Heavenly Father who is said to be able and willing to provide everything. Not just spiritual blessing. Not just a few or some or most things. Not just things pertaining to the body. But He says all things. That's why Paul can say, we know, all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to His purpose. He immediately goes on to say about the Spirit. It's the Spirit who helps our infirmities because we don't even know how to pray for things as we ought. But He makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You see, it's the same Spirit we've read in John 14. The same Spirit that has led us and drawn us and driven us to Christ. The schoolmaster of the law He has used to bring us to Christ. The same Spirit now begins to unfold for the believer all that is theirs in Christ. And He's the one who searches the hearts. And He makes intercession. And it's this same Spirit who is granted of Christ to the believer. So that the believer can say, I rest so entirely upon my Father, I don't doubt. I have no doubt. He will provide. We haven't arrived, child of God. But this message ought to stir up our hearts to seek after this Father who so tenderly, and His Son whom He has sent to make known the Father, we ought to be drawn unto Him so that we may surrender in all things our life into His hand. That's why Jesus would say in His Sermon on the Mount to the people, take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, nor even yet for your body, because your Father knows what you have need of. And then He says to His disciples, they're going to bring you before rulers, before persecutors. He says, don't worry about what you're going to say. In that hour, I will give you what to say. And the one who speaks through you will be the same Spirit whom I give unto you. And dear friends, Church of God, when we are living with the questions continually, what am I going to eat? How am I going to be clothed? How am I going to meet tomorrow? What's going to happen with this? And what's going to happen with that? And we take our eye off of this Father, we become anxious. We become fearful. We begin to doubt. And is it because we can live on so much without the experience of living out of the reality of what the Scriptures set before us ought to be the norm for the child of God? God Himself says, Jesus coming in the book of Revelation to the church, Laodicea, I would you were hot or you were cold, but you are lukewarm. And I will spew you out of my mouth. Why does He say such things to the church? Stir us up that we would lay hold upon these promises He has set before us. That we would live out of Him, depending on Him, fleeing to Him, though we have sinned, to flee again and again and again to this Father who, for Christ's sake, receives sinners. This doctrine, dear friends, does not make us careless and profane. This doctrine of the children of God being able, with a measure of certainty, to say, my Father in heaven cares for all things, does not lead one to careless living. Just the opposite. If we would rightly understand and believe and live out of the reality and truth, God is my Father for Christ's sake, then I walk humbly, tenderly, softly before God. Then I love my fellow man. Then I don't have harsh words and criticism about everyone and everything. Is this our desire to live more and more out of the Father's hand day by day? That we would say, for Christ's sake, He is my God and Father. And acknowledging this, we can say that all things necessary for body and soul, He provides. And whatever evil He sends me in this valley of tears turns to my advantage. And indeed, the Lord can give this assurance that He is our Father in a moment, in an experience, in a text that is applied with power to the heart. It can be. And the Lord is pleased to do so. But it's also true that He leads step by step His children and His people in the searching of the Scriptures, in the study of the Word, in the crying out to Him But He leads them step by step in greater measure of trust, in greater measure of confidence, in greater measure of surrender of all their life unto Him. And notice what the answer of this catechism, notice what the author does again. He brings us back to the great sovereign God who from eternity to eternity exists. He says, He will provide all things and He will make all things, whatever evil He sends me. You remember, children, when the man came up to David with curses, ridicule, he spoke to the king. And David says, it's of God, let him be. He understood at that moment, my Father knows. When someone speaks against you, when someone mocks you for following Christ, are you able to say, my Father knows? Or do you seek to retaliate, to get back the evils He sends upon me? God isn't the author of evil. That's not what our catechism is saying. But everything that happens in this world is by His express permission and direction. There is not one thing that happens in our life that is apart from what God permits to take place and directs to His own end without being the author of evil or sin. And so, children of God, when you think of your life, whatever may come upon you, whatever evil may be assaulting you, whatever may seem in the circumstances of your life to press you down, He knows. He's permitted. There's various reasons why He may have done so. To cause you to cry out the more unto Him, to cling the more to Him, to flee to Him and depend on Him. Maybe also He is causing you to see some more of the corruption of your heart, that you would again flee for pardon. But you may know that all these things, as Paul says, shall and do work together for good to those who love Him. If you're a carpenter or maybe in some other occupation and you're working. I was on Saturday and I was drilling right, hit my finger. It hurts. What do you think of? What do you say? Is this Father in control? Or, God forbid, do you curse Him in that moment? And now take that at any other part of your life that isn't quite going the way you want it to be. Are you angry? Are you bitter? When it says, my Father will make whatever evils He sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my advantage. Whatever evil, child of God, you are experiencing, we know, look at the life of Joseph's children. Seemed to be against him in everything. He's sold by his own brothers. He is betrayed. He is sent off to Egypt. He gets a position there. Then he's in prison. And then the butler, they tell their dreams to him, and the butler forgets him in prison. Everything is against him. But his Father, in this valley of tears, turned all these things to his advantage. You may have heard before that one went to go see making of this Persian's rug. When he looked at the underside, all it was a tangled mess of threads knots, no beauty to be seen. The maker of the rug, he took him up to the second floor, where the one who was directing the sewer and the threads suddenly saw this beautiful rug and tapestry. Every place where the thread came through was in its proper place. And though we experience all these evils in this valley of tears, child of God, is coming a day when looking in the rearview mirror, we'll be able to see it was by His perfect plan. And that is because He has, for the sake of Christ, done all these things for our advantage. Do you know this Father's care? Even in the smallest things of your life, do you live with the understanding and the knowledge that this Father cares? He is able, being Almighty God and willing, being a faithful Father, to so care for us in every part of life. Or are you focused on the things of this world and what you're going to gain in this new week? What you're able to accumulate? Jesus says, take no thoughts for these things, for your Father, just as He cares for the birds that you see outside, He cares also for you. Do you know what the Catechism sets forth this morning on the fatherhood of God? Have you come to learn by nature your roots are not in God, and sin and the world and corruption? And have you learned by grace through Jesus Christ, this Father can be yours for what Christ has done? Paul says in Ephesians 2, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There are some yet here who are children of disobedience. But the marvelous wonder is the Father isn't finished. He has sent His Son to accomplish a work, and His Son has sent the Spirit, and He's still at work this morning, convicting sinners who are here of their great need of this Father. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead, hath quickened us together with Christ. Is this your God and your Father, whom you serve and delight in day after day? Is your cry in the midst of all this valley of tears to this God and Father with trust? Do you know Him in the face of Jesus Christ? A child of God is not simply one who comes to church, who speaks all the right words and says all the right things, who professes simply to believe. And it's not one who is gone through many trials and still remains with a smile on his face. That not necessarily marks a child of God, but a wholehearted surrender of our heart to this God and Father who rules and reigns over all things. And our desire then is to follow Him and to live in righteousness. Do you love God and His Word? Do you know this comfort in a measure, or is it a strange thing to you? See what a comfort it is, our fathers have said, to be able to say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Amen. Lord, we draw near to Thee. We pray that something of Thy comforts may fill us. Something of this truth of Thy fatherly, gracious nature would fill our hearts and minds and direct our path day by day. Lord, wilt thou show us that would it be apart from thy Son, there would be no hope. But through thy Son, there is, for the greatest of sinners, the possibility and the reality of being reconciled to thee once again, so we may cry, Abba, Father. Lord, teach thy church and thy people to so live out of these things day by day. And Lord, grant us to experience thy nearness, presence, and promise through thy word. And those times in which we face difficult circumstances in this valley of tears. Thou art able and willing. Thou art Almighty God and a faithful Father. So we come to thee, Lord, teach us, enlighten us, guide us, lead us, and go before us. And all this we ask. Do it for the name and sake of thy beloved Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.